Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm Dave Stalecki, and this week, as our guest, we have Jim Icazilli. Pit Pass Moto is brought to you by Moto America, the home of AMA Superbike Championship, featuring 190-mile-an-hour superbikes, is the official sponsor of Pit Pass Moto. Tickets, info, and complete 2021 schedule are available at motoamerica.com/tickets. There's 9 rounds of the best racing on 2 wheels. All 20 Hono Superbike races air live on Fox Sports. Also, King of the Baggers airing live on Fox Sports, along with the Liqui Moly Junior Cup Series. Check out Moto America Rewind and Inside Moto America, also on Fox Sports. The Supersport Class airs live on MAV TV. And don't miss a minute of action, practice, qualifying, and races and video on demand with Moto America Live plus streaming. Our first event this year will be coming up on April 30th through May 2nd at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, where you'll see all the race action. Follow Moto America on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Now for the latest news in the industry, we have racing results from the Atlanta Supercross Round 7 in the 450 class. We have Cooper Webb taking the win over Ken Roczen, and third was Zach Osborne. We had quite a battle for the front, but Cooper Webb took it home. He passed from third to first about halfway through the moto and took it home, and it was really a great event for him. What we didn't see was defending champ Eli Tomac really not hanging in there. Ended up fifth on the evening, so that's going to shake up the points just a little bit. Ken Roczen continues to lead the series with 160 win, followed by Cooper Webb, who's 13 points back, and Tomac, who is now 29 points back. So he's got some work to do as they go on to the next round. In the 250 East class, it was a hole shot and check out for Jet Lawrence, who just dominated for the evening, took it home over Colt Nichols, who battled up to second, followed by Christian Craig, who took a bad spill in his qualifier and had to qualify through the last chance qualifier, but made it to the final. Standing so far in the 250 series, Colt Nichols leads with 166 points over Christian Craig, who's 8 points back, so he's still hanging tight. Followed by Joe Shimoda, the pro circuit rider, is back 28 points. So that was the last of the 250 East rounds until later on in the season as we move on to the next round. This week's Pit Pass trivia question is, name the former NBA center who is a well-known vintage motorcycle owner and racer. Give us his name and what team did he play for? More about that later on in the show. Today on Pit Pass Moto, our guest is Jim Icazilli, owner of Motozilli, Yamaha of Warren, and a Northeast Ohio and Western Pennsylvania institution, I would say. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate having me on. And
get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at @pass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
Look forward to chatting here a bit.
You and I have met and we've talked before, and really, I think your dealership is just one of those places that I think has become a destination for riders to go to. And it's not just a motorcycle dealership in the traditional sense, which I think in this current situation with COVID and all the things that are going on, I think that's a really interesting take on a motorcycle dealership these days.
No, I appreciate it. You know, the business plan and what we're trying to create, you know, at the dealership is getting back to what and why all of us got into the sport of riding motorcycles, as well as the business of owning a motorcycle dealership. And that is the fun and the passion, you know, that we have about riding, sharing stories, and just talking the sport. Unfortunately, over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, a lot of the dealerships have gotten into more of a high volume, what we say more of a car dealership atmosphere. And, you know, that's great for us dealer principals that want to make profit, but it takes the excitement out of owning a motorcycle. And, you know, one thing that I know and, you know, we talk about is that everything at our store that we sell, we have nothing that's a necessity. Everything that we sell is for fun and for, you know, personal pleasure. So, you know, we try to make it as fun as possible. And I unfortunately been able to get back into doing some of the things that I have thought of over the years, like the museum has become such a success and almost made the dealership a destination to get people from outside of our area into the dealership and just to look at the things that got us again into riding, you know, the dirt bikes from back in the 70s and 80s and even some of the street bike stuff.
So speaking to that specifically, I know some of the brands that you carry, obviously very popular brands with Yamaha, goes without saying because it's they cover all aspects of power sports from ATV to motorcycle to dirt bikes to watercraft even. Some of the other brands that you carry at your dealership are really interesting to me because it's that that take on the modern retro motorcycle. How does that draw people into your dealership and kind of help push that narrative?
Yes, exactly. We've you know, brought those other brands in and, you know, exclusively speaking of the Triumph motorcycles, as well as the very successful one. What we're super excited about right now is the Royal Enfield motorcycles. They've gotten back, both those manufacturers got back to the basics, and that's where they started at. Royal Enfield, just within the last 5 to 10 years, has really exploded with a retro, very basic, very simple, but great performing motorcycle. Triumph started that with the Bonnevilles, and now they've expanded into probably the best adventure touring bikes that are on the market and some of the most high-tech stuff. But both the names, the Royal Enfield and the Triumph name, is a name that goes back into the early motorcycle history, even before us that carry the Japanese brands, the Honda, Yamaha, Suzuki, Kawasaki. So going back into the business model that we're looking at, that's why we feel Royal Enfield and Triumph fits so well at our store, is because, again, as I said earlier, we're trying to get back to the basics. We're trying to make it fun. We're trying to make it simple. And as you know, Dave, especially, you know what Royal Enfield's done, especially with those 650 twins. It's been a great success.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I love mine very much. It's the type of motorcycle that when you do go out and ride it, it's just the joy. It takes you back to that, you know, that original feeling you get when you first got on a motorcycle. And I'll tell you, the comments you get is also, it's worth having it just for that, because you get a lot, hey, what's that? Kind of dovetailing in now to that mentality and the things that you've done with the museum, I think with the going back in time, I think that's your tagline with the museum is a ride back in time. Talk about the museum and some of the curation that you had to do over the years and some of the vehicles in the museum.
Sure. Going back, you know, the museum just started kind of as a passion of mine. When I built the new store in 2004, we put a basement in the store, and not really knowing what we were going to do with that basement, just, you know, figured we were short on space and land and how big of a building we could build. So, you know, I thought, let's just put a basement in it in the future. If we have to put the small bikes, the mini bikes, the little dirt bikes or something like that in the basement, we would do that. And so over time, the basement became a basement like we all have in the Northeast at our homes. And it's usually just a junk collector, and we pile stuff into the basement. And we ran out of room upstairs in the main floor and decided to move my office and my office manager's office into the basement and build some offices down there. And then in that process, I put an additional wall in and, you know, decided that a few of the vintage bikes, or quite a few of the vintage bikes that I had, I would put in the museum or in the basement. At that time, it was just the basement. And, you know, some people came in to visit and they said, you know, this is kind of a great idea. You know, I have this bike, or I have that bike, or I have a friend that has a really cool bike. So I kind of got the idea a little bit from the Packard National Car Museum that's down the street from us about, you know, bringing some customers' bikes in and people that have really cool stuff at home that they never get to show off. So we were able to reach out to some collectors in the area and put in some additional bikes over and above my collection, and were able to really expand the museum in the basement. And what's made it neat is because there's so many people in our area, Northeast Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, that have a lot of cool old vintage motocross bikes, mini bikes, dirt bikes. These guys come in and they rotate, you know, what we have down there. So it never gets stale. Every couple months, you know, we're switching stuff around and bringing in different displays. Then from that, Dave, I kind of got hooked up with Rob Bitus, a good friend of mine that most of us in the industry know Rob. And he said, well, let's try to see if we can get, you know, a couple legends or some, you know, kind of well-known named folks to come in and maybe, you know, have a special night. And that became a great success. It worked very well. We had Brock Glover. We've had, you know, Don Emdy. Of course, we've had the Penton family. Ryan Villopoto. We've had a great group of guys come into the museum. Unfortunately, with COVID, we haven't been able to do that over the last year here, but really looking forward to midsummer here. We're really involved with some race teams going into the 2021 season and really want to get some stuff going and get people back visiting what we have down in the museum.
And outstanding it is. I urge anybody who's in that part of the world to stop at the museum and spend an hour or two and just go back in time and see some of the cool equipment. Jim, there's got to be a favorite bike or collect item in there that you covet the most. Which one is it?
For my customers that come in, obviously the Honda mini bikes. We have, you know, MR50s, XR75, SL70s, you know, all of that little Honda stuff that we all started on. Probably my favorite that aren't mine that I don't own personally is, you know, three local guys that really were successful in the motocross or off-road racing over the years that I do have their bikes in the basement. And you know, Jeff Stanton, you know, from Honda, six-time, you know, national champion. We do have his Honda in the basement, and Jeff does still ride it whenever there's a Legends race at one of the big events. Also, Freddie Andrews, because the Andrews family was so popular and really growing the industry in Northeast Ohio, and having Freddie's Kawasaki in the basement is a great addition. And then our local boy that we all kind of know, and I know, Dave, I've seen you there as well, is Trevor Vines from TV Land. We have his first Yamaha freestyle bike, as well as a mannequin with all his clothing, to kind of doing a backflip in the basement. So those three are probably my favorite because of the history behind them.
And those are all big names in local racing, in addition to Jeff Stanton, a Michigan native who still goes out and competes now. What's that relationship to the Moto Fight Club? You mentioned Rob Bitus, and I know you were involved in some of that. And all those names kind of ring true, including Ryan Villopoto, a few others. How does that relate to the things you're doing?
That kind of started back at Red Bud. You know, Red Bud, the Motocross the Nations in 2018, Rob had the idea of let's do a mini bike Motocross the Nation. You know, I told Rob, I'm in. I don't know how you're going to get people from other parts of the world to come to Michigan to race TTR 110s. And he said, you know, we can make it happen. I reached out to Yamaha. They supplied us with 12 TTR 110s. We ended up getting 10 countries to bring in 4 riders. Each of those riders were either past champions from that country or someone that is involved with a factory or with our industry. We pulled off the motocross pit bike, the Nations at Redbud. That kind of is what started everything. And it's basically what led into Moto Fight Club. So from there, after we got done with Redbud at the motocross, the Nations, a few days later, we got a call from Chicagoland Speedway, and a couple of the owners from Chicagoland Speedway were at Redbud. They said, hey, do you think you could bring that show to NASCAR? So we worked with them through the winter, and then in 2019, we went to Chicagoland and did a pit bike race there. Same thing, we took 10 U.S. racers. So that's where I got to meet Ryan Villopoto and the whole crew of past motocross champions. They all came in and raced TTR 110s. But what was really cool about that is we also got some of the NASCAR guys to race as well. Ryan Blaney, which is a local Ohio guy, you know, he raced. And so it kind of started growing from there. The Fight Club app is owned by a couple gentlemen from Chicagoland Speedway. Ryan Villopoto is involved with it also. So then when COVID hit 2020 here, the motorsports died. We had no racing that we could watch on TV. And Rob got the idea of let's do a motocross race. We'll have Moto Fight TV do the production. It'll be a paid preview. We'll get these riders to come in and we'll do this event. I didn't really think it would work, but I've learned with Rob when he comes up with an idea, it does work. And, he was able to get Travis Pastrana and Villopoto and Glover and, a whole group of guys to come to Youngstown MX, unknown to the public because we weren't allowed to have anybody there because that's when COVID was really going strong. And these guys all flew in or drove in. Actually, Ryan Villopoto drove all the way from California, which was, crazy. Super cool event. I was able to give Brock Glover a YZ450 to ride, and then we were able to auction it off for Road to Recovery for injured riders. And it was just a great success. I don't know how many, tens of thousands of paid viewers that they had, but it worked really well. From there, got hooked up with my passion, some of the American Flat Track people, and then we were able to pull off another one at Western Reserve, Salem, Ohio. We were able to do a flat track there and able to get Scotty Parker, Jay Springsteen. These are all guys that I grew up with racing, back in the 70s. And that was a great success. And then, as you were mentioning just here, the first of the year, actually the end of last year, we were able to do the same event with the TTR 110s. First time that local people got to race against Carson Brown and Willie Browning and some of these super fast pit bike riders. So from the Motocross the Nation, it kind of fell into the Moto Fight Club, and there's going to be more coming on with the Moto Fight Club. We'll definitely hear more about that.
How has COVID affected you and the dealership as far as when it started last year in March?
We were all very concerned when COVID first hit. It was at the peak of our season. As a power sports dealer in Northeast Ohio, we all look forward to March, because March is when it starts happening and the street bike riders can ride and the dirt bike riders can get out and get going. And, then here the middle of March, we get hit with COVID and we have to close the dealership. And, we started to do some online deliveries, people going to our website and seeing the units that we had online and, started delivering units that way, just parking lot deliveries, I guess is what I want to call that. And that was all through March. And then mid-April, we were able to open up a little bit and, get things rolling. Then just totally exploded. I've been in this business for 43 years. And, last year was just a year that was unbelievable because one of the only things that people could do and do safely is be outside, riding their motorcycle, camping, fishing, boating, And we just, you know, hit the right sport, you know, for that time of year. And what the most exciting thing about last year was not how successful and profitable it was, but there were so many new families coming into the dealership looking for mini bikes and little four-wheelers for their kids. And they had never been in our industry. Their parents had no clue of, you know, what to buy or what to do or where to go ride. But it was just, you know, crazy numbers. And we're really looking forward to what COVID did for us, because it created a whole new customer base. And we can just see that growing from this point forward.
Now, you're also involved, I know, locally with there's the E-Rock Series, which is the Eastern Off-Road Championship, Eastern Racing Off-Road Championships, which is a local series. Now, you're sponsoring a team for that this year, I understand?
Yeah, that's right. We're super excited to be involved, you know, with the E-Rock Series. Actually, this year, 2021, is going to be the most involved I've ever been in all aspects of motorcycle racing. But the E-Rock is definitely one that we had never been involved in that type of off-road racing. We do have some motocross support. We do work with the Hand family, Michael Hand, and, you know, a few of the fast local motocrossers that we help. Brad Orr, basically, who's real involved with the E-Rock Series, came to me right before Christmas, and he's a Yamaha rider, and said, you know, have you ever thought about an E-Rock team? And honestly, Dave, I didn't know a lot about E-Rock at that time. I follow it on social media, and I see it. And what I seen about it is it was a lot of orange and a lot of white bikes, you know, KTMs and Huskies. Brad said it would be nice to get some other brands and maybe get some other dealer involvement and get some dealers involved. And I said, you know, Brad, let's put something together and, you know, see what we can do. And he reached out and put together just an awesome eight riders. And we also got one quad rider. So we're going to have a full 9 rider team that's going to be under the Motozilli Racing at all the, you know, E-Rock races. We've gotten some great support already from Yamaha, as well as, you know, Wasner Pistons. Ralph Johnson's helping us, FXR Clothing. So I'm super excited to be involved in that series, something that I've never been involved in, to bring another brand in full representation to that series, and just to, you know, help grow that series and maybe see some other local dealer involvement, because I think it's something that's really going to grow over the next few years.
And that's outstanding news. I can't wait to see the field of blue in the front of the pack at those events. Those are great events. So, Jim, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. It's been great catching up with you and sharing stories. Love to have you back anytime. What's the best way to reach you as we're wrapping up here? What's the best way to contact Motozilli?
Yeah, the best, you know, we have a website, great website, which is just motozilli.com. Feel free to check anything out there. If you personally want to email me or the store, just motozilli@yahoo.com. I see all those emails. And, you know, if there's anything we can do to help anybody or any event, you know, we love being involved in the power sports industry in Northeast Ohio and Western Pennsylvania. So if there's anything we can do, we're here and we want to be involved. And I appreciate you having me on, Dave.
We'd like to thank our guest today, Jim Iacozzelli, for hanging with us on Pit Pass Moto. And here is our Pit Pass trivia question. Let me read it back one more time. Name the former NBA center who is a well-known vintage motorcycle owner and racer. What is his name and what team did he play for? The answer, of course, is Rick Smits. He played for the Indiana Pacers from 1988 to the year 2000. The 7'4" dunking Dutchman is an avid motorcycle fanatic and can be found at vintage events all over the United States. Upcoming events, we've got AMA FIM Supercross Round 9 coming to Orlando this Saturday, February 20th. And that is the first round of the 250 Supercross West Series. So that's definitely something to look forward to, followed by Round 10, one of my favorite events of the year, the Daytona Supercross, which is March 6th, which is a Saturday. So look forward to that. Hopefully we'll have good weather and continue racing. Thank you again to our guests for being with us today, and thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to us in your favorite podcast app so you'll never miss an episode. And if you have a moment, please rate and review us. We really, really appreciate it. Make sure you're also following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit pitpassmoto.com where you can check out our all-new blog. This has been a production of Evergreen Podcast. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Halverson, Chris Bishop, producer Leah Longbreak, and audio engineer Eric Coltnow. I'm Dave, and we'll see you next week.
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
No. Right.